Greetings, I'm WBJC's Program Director, Jonathan Polevsky. It's the third day of Hanukkah, and I wanted to celebrate each day together with you with a program about a special aspect of Jewish music. Some of these pieces are by Jewish composers, others are by composers whose best friends were Jewish, others are by composers who might not ever have met a Jew, but yet got it right somehow. Before we go on, it's my fiduciary responsibility to tell you that support for WBJC and this program is made possible by you, our members, and Eddie's of Roland Park, cooking up local chef-prepared holiday dinners. Eddie's local heat-and-serve holiday cooking and delivery is made possible by a staff of 250 valued employees, including butchers and bakers, cooks and caterers, delivery drivers, and more, celebrating the local faces behind the holiday feast. Details and holiday menus at eddiesofrolandpark.com. Support for this program is also made possible by the estate of Ruth Srego Newhouse, a lover and scholar of Jewish music. So, without further ado, here is Day 3. There is no way to talk about Jewish classical music without talking about one of its most profound proponents, Ernest Bloch. Though born in 1880 in Switzerland, Bloch spent most of his creative life in this country, where he taught at the Manus School, was the founding director of the Cleveland Institute of Music, director of the San Francisco Conservatory, and finally on faculty at the Berklee School of Music. While Bloch had a Jewish upbringing, in his early days he certainly saw himself as a cosmopolitan European composer. His Jewish awakening took place in his mid-20s and can be seen in early works like his Israel Symphony, three Jewish poems for orchestra, or what we hear now, Shlomo, or Solomon, for cello and orchestra. In 1916, Bloch came to America to conduct performances of the Maud Allan Dance Company. Even though the tour failed, Bloch found himself in America and was profoundly affected by American Jewish culture. This eventually resulted in a series of Jewish works like Baal Shem for violin and piano from 1923, dedicated to the composer's mother. It's the first of two works I would love to share with you on this third program. Baal Shem refers to the Baal Shem Tov, which literally means the owner of a good name, but it's the title given to Rabbi Israel ben Eliezer, who is regarded as the founder of Hasidism. The work is subtitled Three Pictures of Hasidic Life, and that's exactly what it is. The first movement is entitled Vidui, or Confession, and is probably referring to Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, where Jews collectively confess their sins to God. The second movement, the most famous of the three, which is often performed by itself, is entitled Nigun in Hebrew or Nigun in Yiddish. Take your pick, it doesn't matter. Technically, both mean melody, but probably refer specifically to wordless melodies sung by Hasidim. Bloch does an amazing job at capturing the profound melody of their songs, especially in the hands of violinist Misha Elman. The last movement is entitled Simchat Torah, which refers to the last day of the fall holiday of Sukkot, where the reading of the Torah is both completed and begun again. This is a cause for a huge celebration. Here, Bloch quotes the famous Jewish folk song, the Mazinka, a song which celebrates the marriage of a couple's final child. Thank you. By the way, the violinist for the first and third section of Baal Shem was the amazing Gil Shaham. He was accompanied by his sister, Orli Shaham. The second work by Bloch, which should be mentioned, is his Avodat HaKodesh, or Sacred Service. Bloch began thinking about this work in 1927 when he directed the San Francisco Conservatory. He became acquainted with cantor Reuben Rinder from Congregation Immanuel. Rinder managed to convince financier Gerald Warburg to commission Bloch to compose an oratorio version of the Sabbath morning service. As Immanuel was a Reform congregation, Bloch used the Union Prayer Book for Jewish worship as the basis for his text. Bloch returned to his native Switzerland to compose the work and spent most of the 30s in Europe. While composing the piece, he said, "I am battling against notes, sounds, rhythms to extirpate out of my soul all of the unexpressed music which has become latent for centuries. It has become a private affair between God and me." The result of the encounter between the composer and God is a large work for baritone cantor soloist, chorus, and large orchestra, which works as well liturgically as it does in the concert hall. The whole piece is inspired by four of the most famous notes in music history, which trace their roots all the way back to Gregorian chant and even find their way into Mozart's final symphony. Who can resist playing them side by side? The jovial Jupiter Mozart, and the solemn sacred Bloch. When I had the idea for doing these programs, I put together my list, which contained Bloch's music, and then asked cantor Gideon Zellemeyer from my mother's shul in Montreal, the Shar Shemaim, what he would pick. In addition to having an amazing voice and excellent musicianship, I knew his list would be full of great ideas. He picked the Tzur Yisrael, O Rock of Israel section from the Sacred Service. I cannot urge you enough to go find a recording of the Bloch Sacred Service. While Bloch felt a profound sense of Jewishness while writing it, he also intended it to be appreciated by a wider, more Catholic, small c, audience. Or to put it in the composer's words, "Though intensely Jewish in its roots, this message seems to me, above all, a gift of Israel to the whole of mankind." Thanks so much for listening. Chag Sameach, happy holidays, sei gesund, be well, have a latke, a bissel schnapps, and we'll see each other soon. Support for this program was made possible by the estate of Ruth Srego Neuhaus, a lover and scholar of Jewish music.